My name is Tim Perluski, and just want to introduce myself, tell you guys a bit about myself before I get started. I am a US 2 missionary. I'm on staff with Western State College in Gunnison, Colorado. And so basically my purpose there is I do rec ministry, and I work with the college ministry as well. Kind of my purpose is at Western State College, we have one of the only collegiate-run search and rescue teams. We have a lot of recreation majors, and a lot of people come to Western to play, for the most part. They come there. I mean, I've met lots of people that say, I came to Western so I can go skiing or so I can go rock climbing, those kind of things. And so those are going to be kind of the things I'm going to talk about today. I want to use this time to help any of you that are, you know, want to get a ministry going in whatever you like to do. And I'm not trying to get you to be rec ministries, but I want you to be able to, I enjoy rock climbing and I enjoy mountain biking and ice climbing and all sorts of different adventure sports. And I'm going to use those as kind of like some stories and application. But I think these things can work with anything else that you like to do. I mean, if you like to play video games or, I mean, if you like to play music or whatever it is that you like to do, I think you can use those things to bring glory to God. So just to tell you a little bit more about myself. I'm originally from Michigan. I went to school at Michigan State University, and that's where I got saved in my freshman year in college. I met a girl that I worked with at the community college, and she invited me to Christian Challenge Spring Break, and we went out to Glen Eyrie. I don't know if any of you know where that is. It's in Colorado Springs. It's the Navigator's headquarters. And so I went out there, and I wasn't a Christian at the time. I'd been involved in church. I'd gone to the Roman Catholic Church and stuff, but never really had a personal relationship with Christ. And I saw people actually living out their faith. And after that week, I gave my life to the Lord after seeing people live out their faith and getting to hear to some incredible speakers. And the whole reason I wanted to go out to Colorado is because I'd never been there before, and I wanted to go skiing in the mountains for the first time. It was the only reason I really went, and God used that to change my life. So I think we can use recreation to change other people's lives as well. So, and then most of you have met my wife, Jerry, over there from my second marriage. Just kidding. We got married twice because this is one of my bragging points. She's actually from Hawaii. And so there's no way we could get all of our friends and family together. So we got married once in Michigan and once in Hawaii. So, but we moved out. We moved out to Colorado about a year and a half ago, and we really love it, and we're hoping to stick around for a while. But what I want to start with today is, like, why do we want to do ministry? And I think of, do any of you know Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission? Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And Jesus commands us to go make disciples. And part of the disciples is, you hear discipleship a lot, and there's two parts, I think, to discipleship. One is evangelism. We need to share with people. But the other part is training people up. I'm in the gospel, teaching them what the Christian life is about and trying to walk alongside with them. And then the other thing is Romans 10:13-15 says, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they preach without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. And that's kind of the things that God calls us to do, is like, as we are... I mean, my hobbies, I enjoy rock climbing. Like, a lot of my time I've been meeting rock climbers and stuff on our campus. And each of you have a different passion and things that you like to do. And you might be the only person that your friend knows that enjoys rock climbing or whatever it might be. And so you might be the only person that can share with these people. The other thing is, actually, why don't we pray before we get too much more into this? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for all the wonderful things you're teaching us this week. God, I just ask that, God, we just invite you here into this time. God, just ask that you would teach us. God, I just ask that we wouldn't leave from this place empty. God, that you would give us something we can learn. God, and I just ask you just give us a passion to reach people for the gospel, God, and that we'd be able to enjoy doing it. God, you've given us passions and interests, Father, to bring glory to you. And I ask that we would use those things to bring glory to you. So, God, just guide this time and just speak your words. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have any of you ever been through Focus? Okay. You guys heard Dudley last night, I think it was, that was talking. And Dudley does this illustration. He brings a chain all the way across the stage when he's talking. He has a couple people hold it. And there's a black link. It's a yellow chain. There's a black link in the middle. And that black link represents somebody's salvation. And kind of what our goal is, in, you know, whether you're doing rec ministry or whatever it might be, is to bring somebody a step closer to God. Like, we're responsible for sharing the gospel, but we can't always control what people's response is going to be. And so the thing is just to try and bring people at least a link closer if we can't bring them to salvation. And that's what he talks about. It's like we have, Dudley was talking the other, one of the things he said is, when your mission intersects their spiritual journey, then God accomplishes his purpose. And so we're trying to intersect our lives with these people, the people that are around us. And that's the thing is we intersect our lives. We want to draw them closer to God, even if it's just one step. Sometimes you hear rumors, and I don't know if they're rumors or not, but it takes like somebody 7 times to hear the gospel before they accept it. Some people it might only take one, some people it'll take 20. But if we can share Christ with them, it at least brings them a step closer. And the other thing that speaks a lot to me is why we're doing ministry is I was on leadership at Michigan State for the Christian Challenge there, and I helped try and get some Bible studies started and stuff. And I didn't have, we'd have all these religious preference forms, and we'd go knock on dorm doors and just try and get Bible studies started. And I just, my heart wasn't in it, and it just wasn't kind of my thing that I like to do. And so one of my things with this is, like, I really enjoy playing. I enjoy playing sports. I enjoy adventure and different things like that. And the thing is, like, I think if we're going to do ministry, it should be fun. It should be something that we enjoy doing. And so that's why I wanted to share with you guys kind of some of the things that I'm doing. And then what I already said is, like, you guys know people others don't. You might be the only person that might be a Christian rock climber or a mountain biker or something like that. When I was in Michigan, we had a local outdoor climbing area called Grand Ledge. Rich right there is actually from Grand Ledge. And one of my friends and I, we tried to start a ministry, rock climbing. We'd take people out rock climbing. And I was out there one day just climbing, and I met two guys out there, Chris and Kyle. And this is kind of what brought me to Gunnison. And I just got to know them. And over time, I invited them to go rock climbing, and we ended up taking a couple trips down to Kentucky, and we went out to Las Vegas, went rock climbing in the Red Rock Canyon, and all these different things. And through that, neither one of them are Christians, and they're still not, but I feel like I've been able to invest in their lives a little bit so they're at least a step closer to knowing God. And I think that's the thing. Like, I don't know many Christians that like to rock climb, but I know there's a group of non-Christians that need to know God. And the same thing's true, whatever hobbies and things that you like to do. You might be the only person that shares that interest with that person. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to play a game called Celebrities. And has anybody ever played before? These guys right here have. We played last night. But basically, we need to divide the room in half somehow. 3, 6, 9. Yeah, why don't we split, like, we'll split right here, and we'll have this side's going to be team, and this side's going to be team. And does anybody have a stopwatch on their, okay. Would you be willing to keep time for us? All right. Basically, what we need to do is we're going to have, everybody wrote down the name of a famous person or something like that, and we're going to pick, do you want to pick three people? We're going to pick three people on each team. And that person's job is going to be, they have a minute, and they're going to talk and try and get you to name that person without using any part of their name. You can say, well, that's an actress, or it's a cartoon character, that's a dog, or something like that. But only your team can guess. So you're going to be trying to get your team to get as many as they can in a minute. Yeah. You can't use the words that are in the name or any part of the word. So. Yeah, anything else goes.
And so the purpose of the game is to
get the most points. If you get it right, you just that you get to keep that piece of paper, and we'll keep all those pieces of paper when you're done. So.
Yeah, don't say like it starts with the letter after B. Like, don't say stuff like that. Don't
yeah.
say rhymes with salt. You know, like, don't say rhymes with letter, that kind of thing. Just try to explain it. Like, for example, Homer Simpson. He's married to Marge. Homer Simpson, right? You know, like, stuff like that. Stuff like that. Add it
here. All right, so let's divide the room right there. Do we have three people on this side that would be willing to, like, try and give it a go of...
Fun.
All right, Rich.
Jacob.
And... Okay, on this side. All right, one, two, and three. All right, so we're just going to start. We'll start on this side first. And so basically, if you want to time a minute, you just tell them when to go, and we'll have the first. You want to come up first? All right. Or Rich has done it before. If you want Rich to come up first, why don't you come up, Rich? And so you tell them to go, and you have 1 minute, and they're the only ones that can guess. If you guys guess, then they still get the point.
He's a professional golfer.
Tiger Woods.
You can have one pass.
Okay. it's a movie originated in Japan. It's a cartoon.
Godzilla. Hold on. Let's see. It originated in Japan.
Jackie Chan. Yes. the person's last name is a book in the Bible. New Testament.
John.
First person's
John.
Close. Female.
Female?
Yes.
Yeah.
Middle name.
So you
guys
got 2 points.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It was Olivia
Newton-John. So
you would.
Okay, second person on the side. That was a good round.
Let's see, yeah, he was kind of
blue and had green hair. He was a superhero and he was all about the environment. basketball player, famous.
Michael Jordan.
President, again.
George
Bush.
Which one did you pass?
I'll leave it in there just in case somebody else can get it.
All right, second person over here.
Yo, Brady. Thanks for the songs, point guard.
Nash.
Steve Nash.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the Cavaliers.
LeBron James.
All right, last round. What'd you say?
Quick drum and draw.
All right, each side count your total. We'll see who won. You don't have to if you don't want. I don't have any prizes, so.
We lost.
They didn't count, so you guys automatically win.
Once you get to 11, you can win. 15, 16, 17,
18,
19, 20.
Good job.
Winners!
Woo!
Good job,
team! Yeah!
I don't have any prizes, sorry, but I didn't plan ahead. When we played the game last night with our college group, but the way you normally play it, like, we didn't have time to play a whole round, but the way you do it is you go back and forth until you go through all the names, and then you play a second round. You keep rotating the person that is trying to get people to guess, and the next round you can only use two words to describe the person, and then the last time around is charades. And so it's pretty fun. Our group's really gotten into it and stuff, so it's a lot of fun. But I just wanted to open up some questions off of this game. Like, I thought it'd be fun to play a game since of what we're talking about today, but like, did you see any purpose in this game at all?
Mm-hmm. Communication skills.
Were you able to build a relationship with anybody or meet somebody through this game? Were you intentional? Were you intentional? Maybe in your relationships, maybe did you guys encourage one another? I just wanted to kind of, I don't want to go into a whole lot of depth of this, but I mean, a lot of times you can use games for so many different things. Like, how many of you met somebody new since you got into the room? Have any of you met anybody new? Since you got into the room, or since you got into this session?
Yeah, we met you.
All right. But I mean, a lot of times you can meet people just through playing games and different things like that. Like, one of the things that we've done on campus is we've been playing flag football every Sunday after church, and we've just been having students invite their friends, and it's been a great way just to get to know people and to meet new people and just build some relationships. I was able to meet two guys and I'll share a little bit more later, but eventually I don't think either one of them are Christians, but I got them to come to church with me a couple weeks ago. But I mean, just thinking of like purpose when we play, like to have a purpose. Just thinking of trying to be, like, my wife will testify, I'm a pretty competitive person. I don't like to lose. But a lot of times, like, it's just having character when we play games, like, you know, having encouragement, like when you guys were one, you're like, yeah, good job, and stuff like that, if you had a good round or something. And I think like that, even as we play, having Christian values and stuff when we play. But the thing I want to start focusing on right now is just trying to meet people in the things that we like to do. And I just wanted to go over a few verses in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother in the boat of Zebedee with their father. Mending their nets, he called them, and immediately they left their boat and followed him. And just calling of some of the disciples. And then you have the same thing in Mark chapter 2, verse 14. It says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And just thinking of, like, Jesus didn't even have anything in common with these people, yet he was still able to get them to, I mean, I'm sure he built relationships with them over time. Probably wasn't the first time he met them. But, I mean, how much more simple is to build a relationship with somebody we have a common interest with, that we share things with. What are some things that you guys like to do? Like, what are some things that you hope to use for ministry? Whether it's sports or, I mean, why are you guys here, I guess, so to speak?
Rodeo.
What's that?
Rodeo.
Rodeo? Yeah.
Ultimate
Frisbee. Anything else?
Baseball.
Jeff Orge had a great thing with that. Jeff Orge had a great thing with the baseball, his baseball ministry he was talking about. But I mean, that's the things. I mean, we all have things that we enjoy to do, and we need to use those things, I think, to glorify God. And Try to think of ways that you can use your hobbies to reach people. I'm going to use mostly sports and recreation, a lot of the adventurous stuff that I do. But I mean, playing cards or just playing games like we did now. I mean, a lot of people enjoy playing cards or board games, different things like that. A lot of you probably are familiar with Halo, the video game. I know so many people at our college love Halo tournaments and stuff like that. I mean, you could use that to meet people. We did flag football. Now that the weather's cold in Gunnison, it's extremely cold. It was minus 30 before we came here. But we're going to start. One of the guys is a staff intern with us. He's just doing it part-time, but he is a teacher at the local school. And so he's got us access to the gym, so we're going to play pickup basketball Sunday afternoon starting this next semester and use that as an opportunity to invite people to and just build some relationships with. So I just have you guys just brainstorm, how are ways that you could meet people? A lot of you come from, different campuses that have a lot of clubs, club sports and different things like that. Intramurals, if you like sports. Join a club. Other things are take a class. I remember when I was in college, I took a scuba diving class. I mean, I just thought scuba diving was kind of interesting just to meet people and stuff. And I took a basketball class and racquetball and some different things that I enjoyed at the time. I was a kinesiology major, so I got to pick a lot of sports classes too. And those of you who don't know what kinesiology is, it's kind of like sports medicine or exercise physiology. Some of the things I've done is one of the big things I do is rock climbing. I posted an ad on the internet on a rock climbing website looking for a climbing partner in the area. And actually I'll share the story later, but that's how I actually got to meet a guy and was able to share with him a little bit. It was about a month later. Go to local places that they do these things. At our college, they have a climbing wall. And so I'll just go there. I'll go there once a week for an hour or two and just go there and just try and be intentional, meet some people. It's not a whole lot of fun to climb by yourself, but you can find some other people to climb with, and just build those relationships. And I think a lot of times, too, it's more natural for some people are more outgoing, some people are more shy than others. And that will have some to do with it, because sometimes I used to be pretty shy. I still can be at times, but we have to get outside of our comfort zone. And one of the things I think of is James in chapter 1. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. And thinking if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. If you're shy, ask God to help you be bold, and ask expectantly that God's going to help you do that. And I think that because I'm sure there's probably some of you that are shy in this room, and you have to kind of overcome your fears. And to me personally, I think it's a lot easier to meet somebody if I enjoy doing something that they enjoy doing. It's a lot harder to meet a stranger than it is to meet somebody, playing basketball or something like that. Usually when I play basketball, I'll shake hands with the people on the other team and, try and get their name, say, "Hey, man, I'm Tim." And it could be something simple, and you can usually get a conversation started up with them. And one of the other things, too, is you meet people. This is something Max Barnett taught me. He's our state director now, so he's been up to our campus a few times. And one of the things he always says is, I'm still working on doing this. I haven't been very faithful doing it. But take some 3x5 cards. When you meet somebody, write down everything you know about them. Because one of the big things you can do is remember people's names, remember things about them. Sometimes I feel guilty. I'll ask people the same question two or three times. Where are you from? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's where you're from. Because I already asked that question before. And so if you think about it, one of the things my pastor says is ministry is the science of people. So really try to get to know the people that you're trying to reach. And, do your studying. I haven't, the 3x5 card, I haven't done it a lot, but I have done it on occasion, and it helps. I've met some people, and I'll write down some things, and that way the next time I go talk to that person, I know these things, and maybe I can ask more questions off of that. The next thing I want to get into is, those are kind of some ideas to meet some people. The next thing I want to do is, learning just to share your life with people, kind of more of evangelism. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "We loved you so much, we're delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you'd become so dear to us." And just thinking about that you love somebody so much, you're not just sharing the gospel, you're sharing your lives as well. And I think that's what it comes to, is like, we need to love people enough to share Christ with them. And I know for me, that's something I'm still working at. I struggle with being bold with the gospel. Like, I'm still kind of a wuss sometimes with sharing people. I'm kind of like, well, should I or shouldn't I? And just trying to be sensitive to the Spirit and find out if that's what I'm supposed to do. And sometimes I still chicken out. But that's something we need to do. But if we really genuinely love people, we should share Christ with them. And the only thing is, that verse says, we love you so much, we're delighted to share not only the gospel of God with you, but our lives as well. And a lot of times we just want to share Christ with people. We don't want to share our lives as well. We just kind of want to share Christ and kind of move on to the next person. And I think we really need to open our lives to people. And some of the things I've struggled with, this there's this guy, Jeff, that I met, that I told you guys about. I met him playing flag football and found out I actually liked rock climbing. So I took him rock climbing a few times. And I was looking for opportunities to just get some spiritual conversation going. And I never really saw it happen. And I was just, sometimes I would pray and stuff. And I just didn't feel led by the Spirit. But what I would do is I would just share little stories. I was like, yeah, well, last week at church, or I would say, well, yeah, this guy that I play basketball with goes to our church or something like that. I would just try and drop little hints. And he's into elk hunting. And one day I was talking to him. I went elk hunting this last year unsuccessfully. But I was talking to him about that. And I was like, yeah, one of the guys in our church got a pretty good sized elk. And all of a sudden he stopped and he just looked at me and said, I haven't been to church in forever. Could I go to church with you this week? And I was like, heck yeah. So, and he even brought a friend with him too. And so some of those times, like, even if you don't even have to necessarily share the gospel sometimes. Sometimes you can get them into church and just by dropping little hints here and there. I mean, there's times where you can drop hints, but there is times where you do need to be bold and share Christ as well. The other thing I think of is, how many of you are involved in discipleship, are being discipled by somebody or are discipling somebody else? And I would encourage you, if you're not, to be involved in discipleship, have somebody, you know, disciple you. But one of the things I think of is with discipleship, there's a couple of guys I'm discipling and meeting with now, and discipleship is more than just meeting an hour a week. A lot of times, like, it's good to go get time with guys. One of the guys in our ministry, he's an archaeology major, and so he likes to, where we're at, they actually have some sites back from, I guess, the last ice age and stuff. You can go find flakes and different things like that, and he knows all about it. I don't know much. But sometimes I'll go with him, and we'll just go hiking and look for flakes that might have been used by the old Native Americans or different things. Or we'll go find certain types of rocks that he can use to make, like, arrowheads and stuff like that. And so, I mean, some of those times are the best times when you can get time with people, not necessarily doing, you know, you're going to go out and play sports with people and different things, but it's hard to tell somebody about Jesus playing basketball. But what you can do afterwards, like what I did with some of the guys, the two guys that went to church with me, I invited them to Sonic for a drink afterwards. And I just had some really good conversation. I got to find out a lot about their background and who they were. And you got to make sure it's more than just the activity you're doing. I went to China a few years ago through Focus, and I'd go out on the basketball courts a lot and play basketball. And I got a lot of looks because I'm so tall. I actually got invited by the college coach to practice with the college basketball team one day, and I was out of shape. I got my butt kicked. But I would do that. I would meet people out on the basketball court, and I would say, well, hey, let's go have a Coke afterwards. You know, and those are the times you can meet people through those things, but the time you're really going to have to share with people is when you go do something. You know, when you go just have a Coke and just kind of relax, invite somebody over for a meal or something. Some of the other things is just being intentional with your relationships. And I think for the most part, this is more of a generalization, but I think this is harder for guys than it is women sometimes, because as a guy, I'm very task-oriented, and I was just always thinking about tasks. Like, if I'm playing a game, well, I want to win. Or if I'm, you know, trying to get someplace, I'm just trying to get there. But just trying to be intentional with your relationships, you know, finding out what their needs and what their problems are. Like, as I talked with my pastor, says the ministry is the science of people. Like, really try to get to know the people that you're trying to reach. One of the things that I heard a speaker say once, like, if you actually talk to people, if you listen to people, they'll actually share, in a sense, how to lead them to Christ. Like, in a sense, he gave an analogy. He said, this one lady he met on an airplane, she was saying, she was complaining about how awful her dad was. And because I think he may have been abusive and he was alcoholic and some different things like that. And he said, well, what if I tell you about a dad who's loving and I tell you about a dad who's like this and that, you know, describing God. And that just kind of perked her up because it was a need that she had. She needed a dad. And a lot of times if we listen to people's problems, like we can use those to share Christ with them. The other thing that I've been challenged with is just praying daily for opportunities to witness the people around you. My wife and I have kind of been inconsistent lately, but we usually try and start our days with prayer in the morning, and sometimes we do it pretty good for a while, and other times we're not as good. Lately it hasn't been as good, but I mean, we'll spend time for it, and we'll just pray for people that we know, and we'll just pray for opportunities to witness, and I think those are things we need to do. Any of you know, read George Mueller's biography? He'd prayed for people. How many years did he pray for some of them? Yeah, it was like 50 years or something. I think it was four or five friends that he was praying for. And he was just praying for their salvation and stuff. And I think one came to faith before he died. Or two?
No, four did. Like one came to faith like about a year later. Another came to faith about 10 years later.
Yeah. But at least one of them didn't come to faith until after he died. And just thinking of the power of prayer, even you might not be the person that gets to see the fruit of it, but I think there is fruit in prayer if we pray for people's salvation and then faithfully try and pursue it. I think another thing we have to do is we have to earn a right to share with people. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23, Paul says, though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law. Though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without the law, as without the law. Though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. And thinking of, like, those are kind of the things that you're doing as you're using basketball or video games or whatever it might be. Those are the things that you're using to reach people because you're becoming the things that those people are, so to speak, and you're using that for the gospel. And I think sometimes it's almost necessary to have a common ground to share with people. We were at the student week in Glorieta back in August, and I don't know, God's been really challenging me and working on me in the area of evangelism. And I took some of the people from CU. We went out rock climbing. And we're out rock climbing and stuff, and we're having a good time and stuff. And we're just getting ready to leave. And these two guys came up in a car, and they started rock climbing. And I just started talking to them and found out their names and found out they're actually from Crested Butte. They used to live in Crested Butte, which is a ski resort half an hour away from Gunnison. And just got to know him and was talking to him about rock climbing, asking him about the area and stuff. And I was putting the climbing gear back in our Jeep. And I just grabbed a couple of tracks and I went and gave them to him. And I was like, because I told him we were at Glorieta for a conference. You know, they'd been driven by there several times. So like, yeah, I've never been there, but it seems like a pretty cool place and stuff. And so I just handed some tracks. I was just like, hey, man, I just wanted to share this with you guys, you know, and give you guys this. And he saw what it was and he was like, and he said, thanks, man, we'll read it. And I think if I had just gone up to him and just given it to him, he'd probably have been like, what's this? But I built a reputation with him a little bit as a rock climber because he saw me as a climber too. I was out there rock climbing and was able to, I felt like I was able to share or earn a little bit of in their life because I shared something that they did. I think one of the other things that is key to people that people don't normally see today is to serve people. I think that's huge because, like, a lot of times if you look in the secular world, like around campus and stuff, you see a lot of people putting each other down. And a lot of times it's just in fun, but, I mean, we can even do that in the ministry sometimes to, like, poke fun at somebody. But people can be pretty rude and cruel and stuff like that. But I think if we serve somebody, if we make ourselves look different, you know, I mean, not trying to make ourselves somebody we're not, but if we just live out the Christian life, I think it'll appear evident to people that we're living something different if we serve them and You know, maybe go scrape off their windshield if it's snowing out or something like that. You know, if your car's parked next to theirs, or there's just a variety of different things you could do. But I think just serving people and I think being real in front of people. My friends Chris and Kyle that I met in Michigan rock climbing, we took my wife and I took a trip down to Kentucky with them rock climbing in the Red River Gorge. And we spent a whole weekend with them. We were camped out in this campground. And at the end of the trip, they drove separate. We're getting ready to part our ways. And they said, "You guys never swear." I said, "No, not usually, in case it slips or something." But because we were just living out our lives, they noticed a difference, and it opened a door for us to share with them. And then just building onto that relationship, the guy Kyle, him and I took a trip up to the northern peninsula of Michigan. We went to an ice climbing festival. And we winter camped. It was like below freezing the whole time, and it was kind of cold. But we were winter camping out there, and we ended up making a fire one night. And I was just really looking for opportunities to share. And I had been getting to know him for a while. I'd done several climbing trips and stuff with him. And I just finally asked him, you know, some questions about what he believed. And he was like, he kind of said, like, "I wonder what you're going to ask that," because he was kind of expecting that, so to speak. He almost thought I would have asked him before I did, because I was just trying to build a relationship with him. But I was able to share with him. He was like, "Well, how do I know one God is better than another with so many religions out there?" And I'm still in contact with him a little bit. He's not a Christian, but those are some of the questions he's struggling with, and just trying to help him answer some of those questions and draw him a step closer. One of the things I think of with being intentional is Colossians 4, 5, and 6. It says, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of your opportunity." Wait, I'm trying to get this right in my head. "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." And just think of those things. Make the most of your opportunities. You know, be wise in the way you act towards people, and know that people are always watching the way that you live your lives. You know, that's something that I struggle with sometimes playing sports. Like, I am really competitive, and sometimes it's easy for me to get frustrated or angry and to do something wrong. Maybe a word will slip, or my anger will show, or something like that. And I think the thing, too, is when we make mistakes, is to make it right and say, "Well, hey, man, I shouldn't have said that. I apologize." Or just let them know that, you know, that you made a mistake, that you sinned, and, you know, that you do make mistakes, too. Sometimes people think we're these perfect people and stuff, but just to let people know that you do make mistakes, and just ask for forgiveness when you do make them. I think some of the other things, too, is, like, to overcome passivity. A lot of us are shared to scare the gospel. I'll admit, I am, too. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but it's just a fear of sharing Christ with people, and we have to get over that, just like I talked with that verse in James. Like, if we ask God to help us, he'll help us to overcome that fear. And one of the things I did, I'll share a little story. One of the guys I met I posted a thing on the internet for a climbing partner, and this guy emailed me back about a month after I posted this. And he said he's getting ready to move to Gunnison to go to school at Western State, and he wanted to go do a climbing trip in the Black Canyon. And the Black Canyon is a 2,000-foot deep canyon, and it's known for having really tough rock climbing. And some of the beginning climbs are probably the beginning climbs in that canyon are some of the. I did one of the beginner climbs, and that was probably about my limit of what I could do. And I was kind of uncomfortable with it, but we hiked down, and there's two guys. We went, and we got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we got there, and we had to sign in at the registration booth or whatever, and we hiked 1,000 feet down to the canyon, and we hiked about halfway down. And we went over to this wall, and there's a 500-foot climb that we were going to do. And any of you that know anything about rock climbing, this kind of climbing, we're doing trad climbing, called traditional climbing. And for me, it's still kind of scary. For some people, maybe they're over it. But what you do is you're climbing. You have different sized metal wedges. There's like little metal nuts and spring-loaded camming devices. And you're placing those in the rock. And if you fall, that's what's catching you. And so you have to be very good at your placements and kind of know what you're doing. And And I just told the guys before we get there, it's kind of one of the more, probably one of the most extreme climbs I've done. And I just told the guys before we started, I was going back and forth in my head, should I do this or shouldn't I? And I just told the guys, do you guys mind if I pray? I was like, I like to pray before I do big stuff like this, that we'll be safe and have fun and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, man, go ahead. So I just led there's three of us there, and I just prayed, and I was just, I was kind of intimidated, but they're very open to it. It was the first time I had met them. And so we prayed, and then we ended up climbing, and one guy led the first section, the first 100 feet, and then somebody else led the second 100 feet. And then that came to the, we're almost getting close to the top, and they're like, hey, you want to lead this one? So I was like, okay. And so the second section was supposed to be the hardest section, according to the guidebook. But the third section, I think, ended up being the hardest section, because I told them I wanted to do one of the easier sections because I wasn't real comfortable. And I'm probably about 75, 80 feet above the last ledge that we were at. And, you look down, it's over 1,000 feet down to the bottom of the canyon. And I got to this point where I was stuck. Like, I thought I was going to take a fall, and I've never fallen on my own gear. I've done a lot of climbing with it, but I've never trusted enough to take a fall. And I was literally probably the scariest I've ever been in my life. And I was shaking, and I just cried out to God. I said, I did this out loud, not real loud, but I was just like, God, help me. And right then, I found a foothold with my left foot. And I just, or maybe it was a handhold, I can't remember. It was something with my left side. And then I just kind of hugged the rock and then just thanked God. And so I went up the rest of the way, and then I built an anchor, and the other two guys, I belayed the other guys up. And when they got up to the top, I just told them the story. I was like, hey guys, they're like, man, you did really good. That was pretty tough. I was like, yeah, I know. And then I told them I thought I was going to fall. And then I told them too, I was like, I cried out to God. And right after I did that, I found a hold. And they're like, that's really cool, man. And it was just a way to share a little bit of testimony with them. And I was kind of intimidated to do that. And they're like, they accepted it. They thought it was pretty cool. And then on the drive home, I was able to share a bit of my testimony, a bit of my life with them. And, I got to find out the one guy, his family is pretty involved in church, but he just hasn't found kind of a need for it in his life and stuff. And I was just sharing the need for God in my life. And I mean, I haven't seen anybody come to faith through this, but it's still drawing people closer to God, and that's what we're called to do. And, I'm still praying to see fruit from my labor. But just to think of those things, and when you have opportunities, just to take advantage and share Christ with people. One of the things, too, is get yourself trained up. Be familiar with ways to present the gospel, whether it be the bridge illustration, whether it be the Roman road. Read a book. A good book that I've read is Bill Hybels, Just Walk Across the Room. It's a great book for evangelism, I think. Another thing is memorize scripture. Like, it gives you 24/7 access to the gospel. Thinking of, if I'm out on that ledge and somebody wants to accept Christ or something, and they're like, well, does that say that in the Bible or something? I mean, it's kind of a far-fetched thing, but you have access to the gospel and you can share it with people if you have it inside, inside your heart and inside your mind. And not to mention, the Word of God has credibility. I mean, the Word of God has power. It's like a double-edged sword. It can pierce the soul. And so if you have that, you have the Word of God in you that can pierce people's souls. And with that, I think of Hebrews 12:11. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And some of that comes with discipline. We have to discipline ourselves to memorize verses, to train ourselves. And it's not easy, but it'll reap a harvest, it'll reap a joy at the end. The next section I want to go into is leading out. This is kind of more, I don't have any scripture on this. This is just something that I've come up with that I believe. As you're trying to use recreation to reach people, whether it be sports or different things, a lot of things I've been trying to do is, I've planned some climbing trips and gone places with people. And I think it's an advantage, to be able to plan things. For example, I planned a trip with my wife and I, and we took those two guys, Chris and Kyle, and went out to Vegas. And I planned the trip. We went out to Vegas, and we climbed like some 1,000-foot climbs in the Red Rock Canyon in Vegas. And the thing with that is, like, if you plan things, it helps give you, I guess, a little bit of leadership. And what I mean in that is it allows you to set the parameters. Because I know a lot of times in college, you're probably around people that do drugs and alcohol and different things like that. If you have leadership, if you plan the trip, you can say, hey, man, this is going to be a clean trip. I'm just saying, I don't know, you know, not accusing people, but saying, hey, we're not going to bring drugs, alcohol. And that way it keeps you out of trouble as well. Because, I mean, we have a testimony to keep as well. And so I think if you can lead out in certain things, it allows you to set the parameters. You know, and when we're dealing with non-Christians, we can't expect them to live up to our standards, but we shouldn't allow them to do things that are going to get ourselves in trouble as well. Do any of you know John Strapazon? You know who he is? Have any of you ever heard his hairbrush story? All right, well, he has a story about a hairbrush, how it changed his life. He was flying down south someplace, I can't remember, and he was supposed to do a funeral for somebody that he knew. And he got there, and he realized he didn't have a hairbrush. And he was just, it's a pretty funny story, but it's pretty serious at the same time. He was saying, you know, when I sleep, I get busy, and my hair in the morning is a mess. And so he needed somebody to take him to get a hairbrush. And this lady was like, well, these two guys are at a party. I'll have them pick you up and take you down to the store and get a hairbrush. So he called them, and they left the party, and they weren't too happy, and they pick him up. And they take him to go get a hairbrush. And, well, he got there, and, like, I guess one of them had open alcohol in the car, and both of them had been drinking. And he was like, well, I don't know if I should do this or not. And he was like, well, I think I'll just walk. And they're like, no, you don't want to walk in this town. And so he ended up riding with them. No less than probably a half mile down the road, they get pulled over. And he was just, he didn't know what to do. He was crying out to God for help. He was like, God, help me. And John, his middle name is Angelo, so it's John Angelo Strapazon. And so he's kind of Italian. And he was new in this town, and neither one of the guys he's with had their ID. So they're pulled over, open alcohol, none of them have their ID. And then they asked him, he's like, do you have your ID? And he went to reach for his wallet and realized he didn't have it. So he didn't have his ID either. And they asked his name, and his name was John Angelo Strapazon. He just flew in today from Texas. They thought he was a drug lord. They thought he was a drug dealer and stuff. And he was basically crying out to God and said, God, get me out of this. He says, I don't know how, God, but God, get me out of this. So they told him the story of what had happened, that he was a pastor doing a funeral and all these kind of things. And so the cops were just like, all right, we'll see if this holds up. So they'd actually let him drive back to the hotel, and he got his ID and different things and showed him his plane ticket stubs and stuff. And they actually let him go. And it was probably a miracle that he was able to let go. But these are some of the things that he said that kind of speak to me. As you're hanging out with non-Christians and things, just think about some of these are things that he said when I listened to him speak once. It says, your life can be changed by an instant by one bad choice, no matter how small. And just thinking of, like, we need to be careful. I mean, yes, we need to reach the lost, but we need to be careful that we're not getting into ourselves in trouble, even if we didn't do anything wrong. You need to decide who you're going to be before you enter a situation. And so thinking about, you need to know how you're going to handle things before that situation even comes. You already need to have your decisions made of who you're going to be. When we do wrong, it affects others. And I think that's the thing. Like, when people do wrong, it affects us. And you know, that probably, even though he didn't do anything wrong, that could have completely ruined his reputation for the rest of his life, even though he didn't do a thing wrong. And that's the same thing with us as Christians. If we get caught in the wrong situation, that can happen to us as well. The fourth thing it says, it's never right to do the wrong thing. And, I mean, he felt like he made a bad choice in that. Like, sometimes we need to make choices, even though, I mean, maybe we'd had to go to the funeral with bad hair the next day. I mean, that would have been the worst that would have happened if we would have chose the other way. And then the last thing he said is God is our greatest resource in time of need. And so when we do get into situations, just saying that God was his resource. it helped him get out of it. But so I just encourage you, like, as you hang out with non-believers and stuff, we need to do it. We need to reach out to people, but be careful. And then the other thing, too, is, like, I think that this is something another I believe in, kind of like leading out, is gain knowledge in your area of interest, the things that you like to do. One of the things I think it gives you the opportunity to teach others. And I think when you teach others, it helps you build trust. Like, especially in a sport like rock climbing, you need to be able to trust your equipment, you need to be able to trust your rock climbing partner. Because all it takes is one mistake. I mean, for somebody to, what we say in the climbing world, deck or hit the ground. And, but you need to know what you're doing and stuff, and it gives you credibility with other people. And I think about when I was learning how to rock climb, I went to the mall to one of the climbing walls, and the guys there taught me how to climb. And to be honest, they had a lot of influence in my life because they were teaching me how to do these things. Like, I think if you can teach or educate somebody else how to do it, it gives you a little bit of an in and an influence in their lives. So that's why I would say just be educated in what you're doing. And we have a guy in our ministry, his name's Daniel, and we were up at Mount Crested Butte skiing one day, and he snowboards, and the lifts were broke down, so we actually started hiking up the hill. They were going to be shut down for a couple hours. And we met this one guy hiking up the hill. It was his first day snowboarding. He came with the church youth group, but he didn't believe in God. And Daniel decided to take his day, and he showed this kid how to snowboard. He got to know him, and he looked for opportunities to share Christ with him. And he didn't believe it was a coincidence. Like, he came with a youth group, but he didn't believe with God. And his grandma or his aunt or something wanted him to go, thought it would be good for him. And then he got there, and he kind of ditched that group and went on his own. And then he found Daniel in our group, who was able to share with him a little bit more. And so, I mean, I just really seemed like God was pursuing him. And, but, you know, Daniel knew something he didn't. He was able to teach him, and that was helped him build a relationship. And one of the things, too, is, like, I kind of border on this stuff, but, you know, it's all right to spend time improving your skills, the things that you like to do, whether you're a basketball player or whatnot. But the thing that you can't do is let it consume your life. There's a guy that came in this year, and I've met some people like this, though. They say, it's all about, this one guy I know, it's everything is about skiing. That's all it's about. And I'm not, and he's a great kid and stuff like that, but everything is about skiing. Every conversation I have with him, it's about skiing. And life has to be more about than the things that you enjoy doing. You have to have a purpose in doing it. The other thing, too, is, like, when you hang out with non-Christians, I think it's important to have other people that go with you. Find other Christians that enjoy doing the same thing you do. Because when you need to keep yourself in check. If you don't know anybody else that likes doing what you enjoy doing, maybe somebody that might be interested, try and train them up to do the same thing, you know, try and teach somebody how to snowboard or whatever it might be. Because some of the things is, like, it's easy to get sucked into the world when all we have is the world around us. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." And we do need to hang out with, you know, non-Christians, but we need to watch ourselves, because if that's the only influence that we have on our lives, our morals are going to change. We're going to get sucked into their world rather than us having the influence on them. And that's what we're trying to do. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." And if you have two or three people with you, you're not as likely to be swayed. You know, it's a lot easier to have integrity and to do the right thing when you have some other Christians there with you helping you make the right decision. So, and the other thing is, if you don't have anybody else that's going with you, you need to have some accountability of some sort. You need to be talking with somebody that's going to check with you every week, you know. If you've been hanging out with snowboarders on the mountain or something, and say, well, you know, how are you doing? Have you been doing any things that they've been doing? You know, have you been sucked into, you know, smoking pot or different things? I mean, you need to have some accountability when you're out doing these things. And then just some questions to ask yourself in that, like, have I maintained integrity with the people I'm meeting with? You know, have I been sucked into the world or any sinful activities that they've been doing? Because we're called to stand out and we're called to be different. That's most of the stuff that I got, that sheet that you have. I just gave you guys some questions at the bottom that you can maybe use to start kind of your own ministries. Like, you know, what is it that you like to do? What's your passion? And then think about how can you use that for ministry? How can you use... I remember there was girls in our ministry one time talking about crafts. Like, they could do crafts in the union and stuff and try and see if other girls wanted to do it or not. How can I meet new people using this activity I like to do and build relationships through it? Who are both some non-believers and believers that enjoy doing that activity? What's an activity or event you could plan around that? And the other thing is, like, do you have accountability to make sure you're not going to get sucked back into the world? And the other thing to think about is, when are you going to start? It's easy to talk about things a lot, but, like, when are you going to start it? One of the things I've been trying to do is, I'm starting a ministry on the mountain at Crested Butte, and starting next week I'm going to be bringing hot chocolate and cookies to the lift operators and just looking for opportunities to, you know, tell them that God loves them or invite them to church or maybe get a small group or something going. And that's been hard because I've been trying to get this thing going for probably a month or two, and finally I'm starting next week after talking with the pastor at the church up there and some different things. But that's the thing to think about. When are you going to start? It's easy to say, you know, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to play basketball for Jesus or whatever it might be. But when are you going to start doing it? I think that's one of the important questions that you need to ask. So that pretty much finishes everything that I have. All right, well, thank you guys for your time. And if you have any questions or anything, I'll be around for a little bit afterwards. So.